Would you stand with me, please? I'd like to turn your attention to James chapter 1. Starting in verse number 12. It says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." Verse 14, it says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." So within each and every one of us, we have this capabilities of being tempted and giving into that temptation. It starts with a thought, which then ends up in an action, which ends up in sin, which ends up in damnation. "Do not err, my brethren, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, every perfect gift, is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness." He's not changing, neither shadow of turning. "Of his own will begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creation. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." It's able to save. How many messages have I preached? How many witnesses have gone forth, and yet it didn't have any effect because they didn't receive it in meekness? It says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." We've gone to Mexico many, many times, and most every time I go to Mexico, I rent a car and drive. I'm not afraid of driving in Mexico, but my wife and I have this saying every time we go down there in Mexico, a stop sign is just a suggestion. Nobody stops, actually stops. It's there, they can read it. It's just as big as the ones we have here, but they just ignore it. Most every city I've been in down there. This, folks, is not a suggestion. This is the Word of God. Whether we like it or not, whether we understand it completely, it doesn't matter. One day we're going to be judged. Because God doesn't say, "Well, you know, here's some suggestions. Maybe you want to apply these things to your life." No. If we don't, there are consequences. God, we ask your blessing upon the word. Lord, allow it to go forth unhindered. Lord, let it accomplish what it needs to accomplish in this place, in the lives of our people. And God will give you the praise and the glory. It's in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I'm reading from John, the third chapter, very familiar scripture. You've been in Pentecost in any length of time, you know this scripture. It talks about how Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Here's an authority. He is he's really the chief high priest. Everybody looks up to him. And so he wants to know if Jesus is really God. And in verse number 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, because of his credentials, because of his authority, because of his background, saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound or language thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Questioning God. How many here believe what Jesus said? We do. Yet here's a master of Israel, a ruler of the Jews, that says, How can these things be? Questioning God. So people make a choice every day to accept God's word or the word of so-called religious experts, and there's plenty of them around. There is no other gospel, but understand that many want to pervert the gospel or change it to accommodate their lifestyle, mixing truth with error, yet a half-truth won't save us. There is a spirit of deception in the world that claims more lives than ignorance. Because you mix a little bit of truth with error, and it's acceptable, you see. It mainly comes from people we've held in positions of spiritual leadership or authority, and that's why you have to be so cautious as to who you decide is going to lead you, your spiritual life, and is it directed by the Word of God, or is it a religion or some man-made suggestion? Giving a false sense of security to people who don't go to the Word for themselves to get direction. In 1997, Robert Schuller interviewed Billy Graham at the Crystal Cathedral. It's just a beautiful building out in California. He asked Billy Graham is just about at the end of his life right now, been very sick. He's had an incredible career of crusades all over the world where literally millions of people have come. He asked Billy Graham about his feelings about all of the people around the world who had never heard the name of Jesus. What about those people, he was asked. And Graham said, I am firmly convinced after traveling around the world that many idolaters and pagan societies who have never heard the name of Jesus are just as saved as we are. Because they believe in a supreme being and they follow the light that is in their heart. This is a leader is recognized and upheld by many presidents of the United States, many people in this world. Now, Billy, I don't want to be unkind, but you can't tell the world it doesn't matter that you have never been to Calvary. That you don't know the name of Jesus, never been to an upper room, you've never been to a watery grave. Listen, the devil can't defeat the gospel, so he moves across the platform of Christianity to somehow manipulate and maneuver it into something that it is not. Seducing people's souls with another gospel, which is not another gospel, but there are some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have preached, let him be accursed. I don't care if you've been in Pentecost all your life. If some things are changing, it's wrong. Amen. Hallelujah. When Jesus talks, we better listen. Because he's the only one who's been to another world where we're going, you see. He knows how to get there. And what is legally and spiritually required in order to qualify us to get to a place that we eventually want to go. I received an email from a man who took us through the White House some years ago. He's also a Pentecostal preacher, and he said that three chaplains in the Arkansas Police Department were just fired because they refused to stop praying in the name of Jesus. Churches are being pressured today to meet the perceived needs of society at the expense of truth because they don't want to seem like they're out of place. To pamper pleasure seekers, to provide aerobic classes and seminars on investments and entertainment, ears are being tickled about souls that are less than transformed. Because when God touches you, we have to be changed. We are transformed. We're new creatures in Christ. Hallelujah. You can't just accept the Lord and just go about living just the way you used to. God didn't come for that kind of church. The society we live in has reinvented the gospel and has reduced Christianity to one of many religions, and all of them are being equally considered. So when the United Nations pray, they can't just have one preacher come up and pray. It has to be somebody from every different persuasion, from Muslims to Buddhists to astral projection, to humanism. And because we don't want to offend anybody, we have to get everybody's view. We're so tolerant today of everybody's view, but intolerant of the only one that really counts, you see. God is counting on someone to stand up in all of this madness and said, but there's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Father above all, through all, and in you all. We are saved by grace, but not cheap grace. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to James 4, if you will. James 4 and verse number 17, it says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, sin's not going to make it into heaven. Amen. And when we know what's right and we just pretend we're deaf and ignorant and we're just going to ignore what we know to be true, then we're in trouble, folks. We're in trouble. Hallelujah. John, the 9th chapter, please. John chapter 9 and verse number 41. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. You see, once you have this truth, you have a greater responsibility. You really do. Hallelujah. God has given us a book of parameters for our protection and for our freedom. These are not legislative laws in order to make our life more miserable, but to actually enhance our life and give us greater blessings. But if we neglect those parameters, we always suffer consequences from stepping over the line. I don't care who tells you it's all right. You'll always suffer consequences if we step over the line. Someday there will be a judgment for every person who has ever lived. That judgment will be based on how we conform to what the Word of God says. Turn to Matthew, the 7th chapter. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 21, familiar scripture. Jesus says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that, what, doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that builds his house upon a rock or something that will not move. So just because we acknowledge Christ, just because we've gone to church, there are a lot of people who have a false sense of security, thinking I'm all right, you're all right, and the sense of a false sense of security comes many times by having many people around us who agree with the same thing. And I don't care if you got 6 billion people who say this is okay. If it isn't okay with God, it's not okay. Amen. Hallelujah. The issue here is neglect. Whosoever heareth these words of mine and decides not to comply. Hebrews 2 and 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? We can also start out strong and later neglect the things that saved us. If you'll turn to Daniel, the 5th chapter, Daniel chapter 5 and verse number 18. It says, O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive, and whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the Son of Man, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold and brass and iron and wood and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. You knew it. Your father knew it. But look what you're doing, you see. Hallelujah. Listen, God only rebukes and chastens us because he loves us so much and wants us to be saved. Not to ruin our party or to put us in any kind of bondage. The definition of neglect is to ignore, to disregard a condition or advice from somebody else. Just ignore it. All we have to do to lose our salvation is just neglect it. You know, that's why we come together to affirm again. We're living for God. We love you, Jesus. We believe in your word. We come together. We encourage one another. This is our support group, if you will. You can burn up an engine because you neglected to check the oil. You can ruin your tires because you didn't check the tire pressure. You could have a life-threatening accident because you never checked the brakes. If you neglect a simple leak in your roof, you can completely destroy your entire house. Failure to pay your utilities can leave you in the dark. Every day we hear about children who are neglected and people are outraged because of that. But what about neglecting our salvation? What about putting God on the back burner for a while? A stone wall identifies the perimeter of a place of safety with neglect, even a stone wall will break down, and then we're inviting trespassers to do business with our emotions. God knows that when we neglect certain issues of our life, the forces of the spirit world come in to do work. We need to keep the barriers of protection up in our life by gravitating to the Word of God and having the comfort of the church around us. Amen. Pearl Harbor was attacked in 1941. It was an invasion through neglect. It was a powerful America getting very careless, thinking nobody is ever going to defeat us. Signals were sent out, warnings were given, but they refused to pay attention. They misread it and thought they were safe. And that's how Titanic sunk. The radio operator didn't pay attention. Flares went up and they just neglected and they just kept going just like nothing was wrong. It wasn't too long ago that we had Twin Towers in New York that came crumbling down and over 4,000 people lost their lives. We have all of the latest technologies to detect and defend us, yet the enemy, through neglect, penetrated with deadly intention because we're just making a way for somebody. Our neglect came through trying to be nice to people. We looked the other guy as not an enemy, but just somebody a little different, infiltrating our walls by neglect. Turn to Jude, the third chapter. I'm sorry, Jude, verse number 3. Says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend," going to be some contention, "for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, and set forth for an example suffering and vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defiled the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone into the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perish into the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feasts of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carrying about of wind, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And so we have a warning. Who is this to? It's to the church. You got it all going for you. But you know what? There are going to be people you're going to have to contend with. Maybe even people that you used to be arm in arm with, but now they have gone a different direction, and because of that, are you also going in that direction? Is it possible that through neglect, our enemy has gained access into our lives? Are we doing things that we never used to do before? Allowing practices and habits in our lives that at one time we completely gave up. We can't afford to neglect our spiritual walls. We got to stay away from the things we knew were wrong a long time ago. Isaiah 49 and 16 said, "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me." So God is saying, you know what, I remember you. I have you engraved upon the palms of my hands. I put walls up for your safety, for your blessing. Our lives are like the walls that were around Jerusalem. He has given his word to protect our lives, and God continually is watching how those walls stand up against the enemies in our soul. And how are we doing? Our defense is not a good church service. Our church service has everything to do with strengthening ourselves in the spirit, but the wall is built on our convictions and our obedience to the word of God. So we can come in here, we can have a great service, we can have great music, we can have great worship, but then if we walk out of here and we don't have any convictions about what was preached or staying to the word of God, which we know is right, then the walls are coming down and we're susceptible to all kinds of temptations and attack from the enemy. Hallelujah. Our enemy seeks access all the time, not just to tempt you, but to take everything that you have. First thing that goes is your joy, your excitement for God, your tenderness. Then all of a sudden you start to question, are these things really, really important? In 1 Kings chapter 20, there's a story of a king of Syria named Ben-Hadad who came against Israel and said to King Ahab, he said, "All your silver, all your gold is mine. Your children are mine, your wives are mine." And Ahab answered him, he was very frightened and said, "All that thou hast said, I will do. My wives are yours, my children are yours, my silver, my gold are yours. But leave us alone. I acquiesce." Then Ben-Hadad said, "Then I shall come tomorrow and take everything you have, including your life." Ahab said, "Wait a minute, didn't we have an agreement?" Don't make an agreement with the enemy. I'm only going this far. Oh, I love God. I'm just giving up some things. Oh, yeah? Before you know it, not only are your things gone, but your life is gone. Your salvation is gone. Do you think the enemy will stop if he just gets one area of your life? The Bible said, Lot looked toward Sodom. He knew that was a city of sin. He just looked to it. And then he pitched his tent towards it. And later, the spirit of Sodom said, "Why not just move in?" At that point, Lot totally lost his testimony in the city. He couldn't convince anybody of his life for God or the impending doom on Sodom and Gomorrah. And when he had an opportunity to witness, they just laughed in his face because he was no longer living for God. Because they thought, well, you do everything we do. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let people call you what they want. Just keep your walls up. Did you know that Samson never took the Nazarite vow? Never did. Now, the Bible says his mother made him a Nazarite from her womb because of the promise that she got from the angel. But he didn't take the vow, just his mom. He was just raised in the church, but really made no commitment to the church. We're in Pentecost, and now we have third and fourth generation sitting in this congregation. But I'll tell you what, it's not enough to just have mom and dad take a Nazarite vow. Our kids need to take the vow, or they'll lose their salvation as well. Hallelujah. Sooner or later, they're going to have to make their own decision. They need to make their own vow, or one day they'll be gone. There'll be a Delilah sitting next to them, somebody who will convince them that it's not important anymore. Church, the devil is so subtle in setting up relationships with people, and we're thinking, you know what, they're sincere and they're good people, but if they don't have truth, you know, we can't live any old way and then come to church and shake ourselves and feel the presence of God. And for a while, Samson must have lived on his mother's conviction, and there was power there because of the promise of the angel. But if you continue to just live on somebody else's conviction, one day when you really need God or want to feel the presence of God, suddenly it's not there any longer. Hallelujah. We can't neglect what we have purchased, or one day we'll lose it. Buy the truth and sell it not. We need to build the walls high enough so the enemy can't climb over them. They need to be reinforced so that no weapon formed against us will prosper. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, began to look at his separation of Jewish heritage as little outdated. Yeah? I even see within our own ministerial ranks that there are people who are saying, you know what, let's try some new methods because the old ways just don't seem to work. You know, the old ways will work if we still will align with the Word of God. But when we're not aligning with the Word of God, then we have to have some kind of new methods, you know. So Solomon began to blend. He felt he needed to appease other people around him. He made alliances with the God haters. And the next step was he was in bed with their daughters. He married heathens and felt they didn't have truth, but they were sincere. Therefore, we should be tolerant of their religious views. Do you see the parallel between that day and the day we're living in? Society says, be tolerant. You know what? You know, don't be so judgmental. Everybody has a right. Well, they do, but I have a right to go to heaven, you see, and I'm holding to that right. The world of tolerance is that what brought down the trade centers, what took place at Pearl Harbor. Now, you might be saying, I'll always believe this. I've heard this from pastors. So I always believe this. It's just, I don't know if these old methods, these old ways are so important anymore, but I'll always believe this, and I can give you a list of them who aren't near Pentecost. Now, don't believe anything of what we believe, because the walls came down, and we become more tolerant. And the more tolerant we become, we have to even be more tolerant because there are even other people who won't tolerate anything. Listen, believing is not the issue. It's practicing that is the issue. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. We can't neglect the security of the Word of God by trying to be nice guys to other cultures. Solomon appeased other nations, and then he married wives from those nations, and then found himself worshiping the gods of the wives from the other nations. I don't want to get to the place where those things that I abhorred now are acceptable in my life because we're living in an acceptance society. It says we need to tolerate everything and everybody. We have to contend for our faith. I know this isn't the kind of message you just jump up and shout and say, oh, thank you, Jesus. But you know what? It'll keep you in the church until the rapture. Hallelujah. It'll keep your kids saved. Hallelujah. There was a divided kingdom because Solomon didn't keep up the walls. Divided. And I see it all of the time. Let's agree to disagree. Let's fellowship the difference. That, to me, that's just absolutely disgusting, because Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together except they agree? You know? We can't have half of this church believing one thing and another half believing another thing. How can we be the United Pentecostal Church if that is the case? Why did it take 10 days in an upper room? Maybe it's because they finally got to one mind and one accord in one place. And when they were totally united in what they believed, then God suddenly moved in and did great things. If we could go to our last scripture, if our musicians would come. 2 Timothy. Second Timothy, the third chapter. Starting in verse number 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life. See, if you get the teaching, then there has to be a manner of life. Purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, Iconium, Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Continue. Hallelujah. That's why I love guys like Brother Jonathan Mackey, who comes in and preaches the gospel over and over and doesn't waver, uses lots of scripture, goes to doctrine all of the time, because it reassures me, yeah, I'm on the same page. Yes, that's where we're supposed to be. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Hallelujah. That's why we get together, folks, reassure one another. We're still on the same page. We're still doing the same thing. I don't want to have any kind of false sense of security that some things just are no longer important. Well, you want to take that chance, you can. But I'll guarantee you, in the end, you're going to be disappointed, because there's going to be a day where the trumpet's going to sound, God's going to descend from heaven with a shout, I want to go. I don't want to compromise one iota thinking maybe I'm not ready. I want to be ready. John was ready. He said, come quickly, Lord Jesus. He was ready. That's where I want to be. I want to lay my head on a pillow tonight, having confidence. You know what? I haven't compromised in any way. I'm living for you the same way I did when I first came into the church. Hallelujah. We should be running faster now than when we started, folks. Glory to God. Amen. Would you stand with me, please?